listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria, proudly improving health and care for everyone. In this episode, our Patient Safety Programme Manager, Paula Elliott, leads a discussion on Martha's Rule and how we have supported the implementation of this major patient safety initiative across NHS trusts in the Northeast and Northumbria.
My name's Paula Elliott and I'm the Programme Manager for the Patient Safety Collaborative in Northeast Northumbria Health Innovation, and today we're looking at Martha's Rule. And during this podcast, we're going to explore how trusts across the Northeast and Northumbria are putting Martha's Rule into practice. So firstly, can I ask you all to introduce yourselves? So going to Lisa.
Hi, my name's Lisa Hobbs. I'm currently the project lead for the rollout of Martha's Rule at South Tyneside and Sunderland and the critical care outreach lead.
And Gemma?
I'm Gemma Nelson and I am one of the Martha's Rule implementation nurse leads at CDDFT.
And Melissa?
Hey, I'm Melissa Todd and I'm the other lead nurse for Martha's Rule implementation at County Durham.
And finally, Julie.
Good morning, I'm Julie Bloomfield and I'm the Northeast and Northumbria Paediatric Critical Care and Surgery in Children Network Manager. So my role really is to try and support the trusts in the Northeast Northumbria around Martha's Rule.
Thank you, Julie. So we're talking about Martha's Rule. Can I please ask you, Gemma, what is Martha's Rule and why was it introduced?
So Martha's Rule came into pilot in 2024 following the death of Martha Mills in 2021, which was deemed to be an avoidable death by the coroner in 2023 due to escalation, or lack of escalation to a critical care outreach team or a specialist team when Martha was poorly. When Martha was poorly, her family had identified on several occasions that they thought she was deteriorating and nobody listened to their concerns, which was why Martha's Rule has come about. It includes three parts, including ensuring that all patients are asked at least once daily how they're feeling today or compared to yesterday. That's used in a structured way to escalate deterioration. That all staff within each trust has the availability to independent second kind of rapid review from a critical care outreach team if and so they think is appropriate. And then the part three is that families also have access to this service.
That's great, thank you. And staying at County Durham and Darlington, you've obviously had Call for Concern implemented for several years now, and that's evolved into Martha's Rule. So can you tell me how the culture of the organisation felt to you when you did implement Martha's Rule, when you changed from Call for Concern to Martha's Rule? How was it perceived by staff, and how are you feeling that things are going to date?
So I think we're really lucky at County Durham and Darlington that we've got a solid foundation with our acute intervention team. We are very visible on the wards, and if there's a deteriorating patient, we're expected to be there. They expect us to be there to support them and help with anyone who's in loss. We've got that solid, they're used to us being there. We implemented Call for Concern in March 2021, and we just went out with a bang, the whole three hospitals. Moving from them, we've had, 200 calls?
Yeah.
Since implementation, not all of them deemed to be related to acute deterioration, but we've had positive impacts within all of those calls, and I think learning and sharing that learning from all the calls and that positive influence that the team have, the deteriorating patients, it
strengthened the acceptance of bringing Martha's Rule in.
Yeah, so we've moved into the pilot and we've got Martha's Rule. We've done more comms, we've done lots of teaching. The service has evolved as we've learned from our neighbouring hospitals and what they're doing and from NHS England. But it's accepted as a rule that they expect us to be on the ward and that they can use the service. We have had calls from staff who have used it when they feel that they're not being listened to, so there is an acceptance throughout.
On a whole, our team's visibility is excellent, and we have excellent visibility of the acute intervention team and acceptance of them. And I think probably our main barriers were probably solved when we implemented the acute intervention team, because there was a lot of, why is this team coming on our ward and getting involved with our patients? we're over that now because the teams can see the benefit of having them there. So when implementing Call for Concern and Martha's Rule, it was just seeing an extension of something we already had. And I think alongside that, with me and Melissa both being seconded into our positions of Martha's Rule leads, we've also ensured our visibility. So we've done lots of engagement with our stakeholders. We're present at lots of senior meetings. We've got buy-in from all of our execs, which then feeds down the chain and ultimately helps with our engagement with our ward teams as well.
It's formalised a lot of our procedures, hasn't it? From it was very initially informal at the beginning before we went live with Call for Concern. The staff would say, I'm really worried, they're not listening to me, I've tried to say this, but now it's putting, we put Call for Concern in, that formalised it. But now since the pilot gone live, it's the engagement, isn't it, with the wider population as well from all the comms that have been done.
It's not a backhanded, oh, can you come and see this patient, I'm worried about them. Now it's a formal referral. It's actually, there's something not right. Nobody else is listening to us, whether it be a staff member or a patient or their relatives, and it's giving them that formal process, which is then followed up properly. And we present all of our data again at ADN level, at exec level. So it's not just about what's going on the ward, it's about an oversight of everything that's happening in each trust.
Since you've formalised it and it's become Martha's Rule, and obviously it went live last May, do you feel that your numbers have increased because people feel that they've got something behind them? To, you know, they've got that tool that they can use because it's a formal procedure now, like you say, it's not just, oh, well, we can use that, but they can formally use it. And on the back of that, you say that, you know, obviously it's been great, you've seen notices in the deterioration numbers. Do you share that back to the staff, so do they appreciate how good it is as well?
I think we have seen a rise in the number of calls, and especially the number of calls from staff. I think you can do a lot of awareness, but once it's on mainstream media, we've seen interviews on the BBC, like it's been, they know that it's there, and that people that probably would have never rang, that have just struggled on the ward, are using it more and more, and they would ring the acute intervention team are always there, but formalising it in that way is, I am not being listened to, so it's, we've definitely had more calls, and from families and patients, we've seen a significant rise, haven't we, over the last year?
A lot of that will be to do with our communication. We've got really good advertisement, we've got a YouTube video, we're on social media, we've got internet and intranet access and web availability and informing people of it. But also I think our staff, because they're more aware of it, they advocate it to our patients as well. So they'll give the leaflets now, whereas I don't think that probably happened as much prior to that. So that they know the importance of it, so they're making sure their patients are getting the best out of the service that we're giving them as well. We do feedback all of the data, don't we, to our care groups, and every call that we receive or every high PWQ that has an outcome, we report to the care groups, but then we also attend ward meetings, so we'll tell the wards how they've done with their dip. So for instance, the PWQ pilot that we're doing, we've been to their ward and we've fed back case studies of what's gone well, what hasn't gone so well. But then every call is, the data is collected and audited, and then we produce an incident report, not because there's necessarily been a failing, but for data collection, and then reports go to the care group coordinator, the ADNs, the ward managers, the matrons, and then they can feed back any learning from each individual case as well, not just as a whole.
We review them on a holistic sort of level. We do a sort of a speciality case review, don't we, when we're reviewing them together. So any positive or negative learning is fed back to the care team so that they can see the benefit of it.
And then again, if there's something more serious or untoward, it's then taken down the appropriate possible PSI routes and things like that.
That's great. So I'm hearing how you share your learning within your trust, but obviously over the past year you've also shared that nationally as well at national webinars, etc. So we're all learning from what's happened and been happening since 2021 at Durham.
We've all had really good ideas across the whole of the country, so we've taken the bits that we've liked and we've shared the bits that we think that we've done really well, to make the service the best that it can be, really.
And we get like vice versa, we've been to other trusts, haven't we, and taken what we thought they did really well and worked with them to make it work for ourselves.
So we've concentrated really there on looking at talking about patient and staff escalation, So the other component, the first component of that, is the patient wellness questionnaire. So could I come to you, Lisa, and ask you to tell us what the patient wellness questionnaire is and how you've gone about implementing that at South Tyneside in Sunderland?
The patient wellness questionnaire really is a way of routinely capturing patients' understanding of their own illness or wellness and their worries and concerns, and a way of providing a more complete picture of a patient's condition, giving patients permission to talk about their own wellness and to say whether they feel better or worse than the last time that they were asked, and to have that inputted into the patient notes, and to that to be seen to be acted upon and responded to in an appropriate way. So there's two questions on the patient wellness question, the first being, how are you feeling today? And with response of good, bad or okay. And how is this compared to the last time that you were asked, with better, same or worse? And this in South Tyneside and Sunderland creates the way that it's been done on the digital platform is to create a matrix behind the scene, which comes up with an action. And those actions can be continue current management plan, or to monitor that management plan, or to take action. It's based on the Bradford PWQ wellness score, but slightly adapted so that it fits in with our digital platform. From those actions, the nurse who's looking after the patient will then escalate as appropriate, or how they feel is appropriate. And that could be speaking to the medical team, it could be increasing the frequency of observations, it could be contacting the critical care outreach team. And from those escalations, we have managed to create a dashboard and managed to get our digital analysts on board really early on, so that we can capture all of that data that's been inputted by the staff nurses, including free texts and themes about what type of things that patients are concerned about, how they feel they are deteriorating. And we've managed to capture all of that learning on a Power BI document, which means that we can look every day about compliance of who's being asked the question, about what the responses have been, how many patients are being referred to CCOT, how many patients are being referred to the medical team, what their new scores are at that particular time, whether what responses the nurses have done have created a positive impact on that patient. All of this has been recorded on our wellness question, and all of that data is being measured and analysed by myself and some of the data analysts to come up with some quality improvement measures for those wards and for those responses that we're getting. So currently, the themes that are coming through on the patient wellness question are things like pain management, nausea, a lot of anxiety. Some of the patients who are feeling worse are because sometimes they're just in hospital longer than what they thought they were going to be, or whether they've been given some bad news, and not all of those escalations require a CCOT response. So what we're gathering is the information from that digital platform to say what the nurses are doing in response to those kind of situations, and whether that in the next PWQ has a better outcome from that. So all of these are being analysed at the moment, and that's being fed back to the national team as well.
That's great. So I've listened there to your journey of starting to implement it, and how you feel that the information you're gathering is showing that this is a good thing and it's a positive thing. Did you get that impression when you first implemented it with the staff, or did you get some resistance? Did you get the, it's another job for the staff to do, it's another tick box, it's another exercise, or did everybody come on board? And if they didn't, how did you convince them? Do you feed that back to them to say, this is what you're doing, and look at the positive impact it's having?
Yeah, so at the beginning, before we started the PWQ, I made sure that I had a lot of buy-in from the wards. Yeah, and I used small workshops with all of the, I've done four wards, and I've had a mix-up of surgical, medical, over two sites, and I made sure that I did focus at first on wards with strong leadership that I knew had interest in quality improvement, And I made sure that I've done some small workshops with at least 75% of the staff on those wards before we started the PWQ. Talked about Martha's story, but also talked about their stories and about their experiences with patients where they've tried to escalate and been unable to. And it seems like most people do have a story, including themselves as either being patients, relatives, or as staff members. And having that buy-in from the staff before we started meant that they were really keen on the pilot wards for to do the testing for the PWQ. What I did ask for as well was for them to give me any barriers that they were finding and escalating. So anything where they were trying to escalate a patient because of a PWQ score, I asked, and they weren't getting the response that they needed. All of that was written down, and I took that feedback and made sure that that was acted upon as well and resolved, and had that closed feedback loop. Everything that was good, everything that was bad from the PWQ was fed back to the ward. The compliance for the PWQ has gone, went right up. And the feedback I had back from the ward was that after a few weeks that they thought that the PWQ should be done more than once a day. So I asked them to just do what they thought or what they felt was right on their ward, and for that to fit into their ward routine, which they did. And then after a few more weeks, they were saying, well, really, this needs to be done 3 times a day. So we started doing it 3 times a day. And what we found from that is, because we were recording a lot of data, we were recording a lot of news scores and the timeliness of response to the news scores as well. And the wards that were doing their PWQ 3 times a day, the response times for teams responding to news 3 to 6 increased by up to 70% in timeliness response. So this has been taken to the patient safety deterioration group, and we've decided that when we do roll out the PWQ for the rest of the trust, that this should be done 3 times a day, and it should be done TDS, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and once in an evening. We are trying to work out why that might be, why teams are responding faster, to a high PWQ than to a new score. And some of the feedback was that when, say, a medical team was asked, can you review my patient because the news is 4, that sometimes that's not really heard. Whereas when they were asked, can you come and see my patient because they feel worse, or can you come and see my patient because I'm concerned and I've got a bad feeling, that response was faster. So our response times for responding to news 3 to 6 has gone up on those wards by up to 70%, which is massive.
That's great. So what I'm hearing from there is that you've tried to implement something, but you've taken a real model for improvement, looked at it, worked with the staff, and they've owned it with you. You haven't done it to them. You haven't told them what they're doing. They've said to you, this is great, but can we adapt it?
Yeah.
So you've done the full PDSA, if you like. You've stopped, you've looked at it, you've studied it and adapted the staff. So the staff now feel like they own it a little bit. So obviously you get, like you say, it's culture.
Yeah.
If they feel they own something, then they appreciate it a little bit more. And obviously they're seeing the positive outcomes and the positive themes that you're bringing back to them.
Yeah. And they're asking me sort of every month, tell me my numbers. What's my compliance? What's my response times for the new scores? Has it improved? And then they're chasing that up if it's not.
Yeah. That's excellent, Lisa. Thank you. So, Julie, obviously it's different for you. You don't work in a trust, but you've got that helicopter view of how everything's being implemented across all of the trusts in the North East and North Cumbria that are implementing Martha's Rule as part of the pilot phase. Can you tell me a little bit about how you feel that's differed in the paediatric settings?
Initially, there were 3 networks identified in the country as pilot sites. One of them was Yorkshire and Humber, which was looking at the implementing Martha's Rule from a sort of change in culture point of view. The Midlands network, their pilot has been around working with adult critical care outreach teams. And down in London, they're looking at working with the specialist transport service. So those 3 networks did receive additional funding. And the idea was that there was going to be quite a lot of learning from those networks, which we're just starting to hear back from. So our network is feeding all of that information out across the region. But I know there needs to be, Martha's Rule needs to be implemented more at pace now. So paediatric critical care, it's in three levels. There's levels one, which needs to be provided by every trust, level two, which is more specialised, and level three, which is intensive care. So we have the intensive care at Freeman and Great North Children's Hospital, and then South Tees have a level two unit at James Cook Hospital. So what the network's trying to do is, as I say, we share good practice, but we had already, I think we're trying to build on what's already there. And so we're very interested in the approach that Yorkshire and Humber have around cultural changes. So I think lots of things are already there. We've set up a group, which our colleague Emma Lynn from Great North Children's Hospital has been involved in, called the ROCSI group. That's the recognition of children with serious illness. And we've got a number of webinars on our website about that. And that's been successful to a degree. And then there's also the PEWS, that's the Paediatric Early Warning Score, which is, there's been a national tool developed, but there's which has gone to a digital programme. So a good news story is South Tees have been one of the first trusts to have successfully implemented the digital PEWS. So again, that's being shared out across the region about how they've managed to do that. All of the trusts are using Call for Concern for paediatrics, which we've heard from Emma and Melissa. So I've done a little bit of a check-in, and colleagues at Northumbria said they've only had one call to date on that, but they haven't improved that where they've put the, I think some feedback from parents was that the signs about Call for Concern weren't that obvious. So they've done a lot of work making sure that the posters are very visible in all the cubicles. They've had one call to date, but unfortunately that was somebody who must have just looked. It wasn't anything to do with requiring a second opinion, but at least it showed that the number was available to the public. Again, what we're trying to do, building on good practice, is really listen. We know that Martha Mills' parents, I think one of the phrases from the report, which would probably stick in everybody's mind, is that they were begging for help. And the tragedy really is that Martha was in a unit that did have a paediatric intensive care facility, which was very close to where she was being cared for. And for whatever reason, the medics looking after at the time, I think they chose not to communicate with the PICU colleagues. So we're doing a lot of work around communication. We have on our board Greg Johnson, who's the chief executive of Team EV, and he's our parent rep. And just we always use Greg. He does some great training about communication with parents and how really, why wouldn't you ask the expert or the consultant in the room? Because he says, really, the parent is the expert and sort of almost consultant status for their child, and how they are normally, or what they know whether they've deteriorated. So we've done a lot of training around listening to parents and how to communicate to parents and recognising that expertise that the parent brings to the care of their child. Also around education, we have just had we've developed within the region a level one course, and that's going to start in September. So very excited about that. And the great news is as well, that's been accredited by the Paediatric Critical Care Society. So again, that's just about really supporting the staff around recognition of deteriorating children. Oh, also another good news story is down at North Tees, around their sort of patient safety culture change, they've appointed a Band 7 colleague who's doing an absolutely fantastic job. And really, it's about rapid response to any incidents, any concerns, making sure that they're turned around within a week and the lessons learned are implemented very, very quickly. And that's evaluated very well.
That's great, Julie. Thank you. That gives us a good view of where you've come from and where you're going. But learning from others, we can take that forward. And you mentioned North Tees there, which is great because they weren't in the phase one of our Martha's Rule implementation. But we can see as we enter phase two, they've come on board there and that they've already put something in place. So that leads me lovely onto the next question about phase two. So we're moving now into phase two as of April this year. And phase two is looking at the implementation of Martha's Rule into maternity and neonatal settings, mental health settings, the community, and the emergency departments. So going back to you four, Is there anything you can tell me about your plans for moving into those settings? Have you got anything underway? Obviously, there's nothing in stone yet. We're only in the beginning of June. Nobody's been set forth with that plan yet. But do you personally at your trusts have plans for implementation? So if we come to Durham first.
Our experiences for our first year have given us kind of the tools we need to take it forward into all of the extra areas, especially when thinking about our digital platform. So now that that's ready, we know that it's going to be a lot easier to roll out in the part one, so patient wellness questionnaire, into all of our areas because we have that tool. It's easier to order, it's easier to roll out, whereas we were doing it manually, still on a digital platform, but a manual input of data and then a manual order, which took me and Melissa hours and hours. Worth it because we learned a lot from that pilot and what we can take away from it in terms of the things that went well and the things that didn't go so well, but ultimately know that wherever we take it now, it's going to be a much smoother and easier process. And we've also got a gold standard ward for them to all go and look at and see how it works and can model what they're going to shape on their areas with that.
And we're hoping to, well, we've put expressions of interest in for, we've already got call for cogs within maternity, but looking to develop and improve in that area. And also in the community hospitals as well. We've gone live in one community hospital at County Durham, and we're looking to expand that over the other four over the course of this month. But to be part of that and the learning with the community sites would be really good.
That's great. So good luck with your expressions of interest and your positivity and the momentum that you've got. I'm sure that puts you in good stead for the next couple of weeks, finding out about those expressions and working, particularly with North East North Cumbria, with regards to the maternity and neonatal settings, which we'll be leading on. So, Lisa, you mentioned that you've gone live with Martha's Rule in four wards across the two sites. Do you have plans to go live in other wards or into emergency departments or any of those new settings over the next year?
Yeah, so now that we have the PWQ digitalised and we have the communications kit ready, we're ready to go to roll out throughout the whole trust for Martha's Rule, which at the moment I'm trying to decide whether to do that slowly or to go with everyone at the same time. We've just started a PWQ in paediatrics at Sunderland as well, prior to the NPOs becoming live, so that started this week. And I've also had first initial meetings with the emergency department to try and see if we can agree a pathway for Martha's Rule in ED as well. By this time next year, I'm hoping that we will have implemented Martha's Rule throughout the whole trust, including ED and maternity.
So that's great. Thank you all so much for your time. Going forward, if there's any more information anybody wants to find out, you do have your own intranet sites. You've got information on your own sites. Julie, is there any information with regards to paediatrics? Is there anywhere people can go to find out more about Martha's Rule and paediatrics or about that training course that you mentioned? Anything to highlight there?
I think if colleagues would like to email me directly in the first instance, we do have a website, but you do need to have be set up for a password. So my email is julie.bloomfield1@nhs.net, and I'm happy to signpost anybody.
That's great, Julie. Hopefully you'll be inundated. Thank you very much. And obviously, that's talking about us locally, but nationally, if anybody wants any further information, everything's available on the NHS England website.
You have been listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by Health Innovation North East and North Cumbria. If you'd like to find out more about our Patient Safety Improvement Programme, please visit the Transforming Patient Safety section on our website at healthinnovationnenc.org.uk. We will, of course, provide further links and relevant resources in this episode's show notes. Thank you again for listening.